All right, if you remembered my one-on-one in 2014 with Teddy Coffey, it continues now.
Hey guys. Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
All right, welcome on into another episode of To The Point with Kristen Burt, presented by Dance Network and, of course, Popcorn Talk. And we're already laughing, so yeah. You know this is going to be laughing. A good hour. Teddy Coffey is here in studio with me. Hi, now you can say hi.
Hi, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad because, you know, the first time you appeared here, and it was after Buzz, the So You Think You Can Dance show, you were just off the show, probably about a few weeks.
Totally.
And I believe Serge and Mealy were both late. So
they were.
You and I had
they
one
were,
on one.
So I had to start it. I think I was there for like 20 minutes by myself. I was like,
It was pretty much like that. Yeah. And I called it Boy Party because all of my hosts had abandoned me. I don't know what happened
totally.
That week. So.
Totally. We were solo. Yes. Well, we were a duet.
So that's when I called in. I was like, I only want guys.
Yep. There you go.
Yep. That's what happened. But you are here now on To The Point. And this is kind of like your dance story. So
fun.
Yeah, we're just going to kind of like go through it all and everything else. I know we've already been chatting. Mm-hmm. I always say, I need to start taping the pre-show because there's so much stuff
that
goes on.
We said some good things, I felt. Yeah.
But hopefully we'll bring some of that up again in this hour. But I always like to go back to the beginning with everyone because I think a lot of times we get to see highlights on So You Think sometimes, but we never really get to understand who people are. And we didn't see your audition in season 11.
Yeah.
So we didn't know who you were until you appeared on the show.
Totally. Totally, yeah.
Which is a crazy thing. So I always like to go back. And let's talk about Aunt Cindy. Is she your very first dance teacher?
Yes. My Aunt Cindy was my dance teacher from ages 8 until I graduated from high school. And every time I go home to Rochester, her and I get in the studio and we dance together. You know, we just mess around in the studio.
And did you start dancing at the age of 8?
Yes. Well, I would dance around my house, like, from 4 and on, like, because I loved Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and Christina Aguilera. I was a huge fan of. And I would see their music videos, and I just always wanted to be singing and dancing. And so when I was 5, my mom was like, you know, talking to my Aunt Cindy, like, I think Teddy would be interested in coming to a class or two, you know? And so I went to this all-boys class when I was 5, and I told my Aunt Cindy that I didn't like her telling me what to do to this song, like a stubborn little 5-year-old. And she's like, okay, Teddy, then you go in the corner. And so I was just, like, dancing, and I told my mom, yeah, I don't think dance is for me. And so then 3 years later, I was like, Mom, I really want to dance. I'm ready.
And I'm ready to listen to Aunt Cindy?
Yeah, and behave and not, like, you know, but I knew what I wanted when I was younger, and I guess I didn't want to be told what to do at 5. But
you're bossy. It's
okay. Yeah, I guess.
Did you start in all styles? Did you start just with tap?
When I was 8, I did tap and hip-hop, and then I took a jazz and ballet class, but that only lasted for 1 year. And I was stubborn as a kid, and I wish that I told my Aunt Cindy that I didn't want to dance if I had to do ballet and jazz again. Mm-hmm. And so she, you know, allowed it to happen because she wanted me to continue to dance and stuff, but I wish that I had continued ballet and jazz through all the years instead of picked it up again when I was in 10th grade. So I had like a 6-year gap of no technical training at all. I just loved tap and hip hop.
Wow, and that's tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tough to, because ballet is something, and I know this because I studied it for years, you either use it or you lose it.
Yeah. Totally.
And I don't know if people understand that if they haven't danced. It is one of those that you need that muscle memory, but you need it almost every single day.
Yeah, I know. And I felt like I had to catch up when I was a sophomore in high school. And even when I was a sophomore, I was very serious about dance, but I didn't understand the importance of ballet at that time until probably my junior year of high school, because my Aunt Cindy said, if you want to move to LA and if you want to, you know, become a professional dancer, you have to be as versatile as possible and you have to get into these classes. Otherwise, it's just not going to work in your favor.
You had your eye on So You Think You Can Dance for a long time. How old were you when you started watching it? Do you remember?
I think it was right around the time that I started dancing. I missed season 1. I didn't even know it was a thing when season 1 was going on. But I caught it like the second to last episode of the second season. And I told my mom, I was like, Mom, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to be on that show one day.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then we were talking about the tours of the old school ones, mm-hmm. like the stadium tours,
totally.
And they would sell out. And you said you went to several of
those. I went to
those.
Like 3 or 4 of them. I saw Travis's tour and I saw season 3's tour. And I want to say I saw season 7 and like maybe one more, 4 or 5. I'm not sure which one.
And you know, I don't, you know, now it's probably, we're laughing because we're like, it's so cute. But at the same time, it made a huge impression on you as a young dancer.
Absolutely. Yeah. It kept me driven. Like, that was my goal. My goal was So You Think You Dance from, like, day one.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you made it the very first time you tried out. So you're one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, I'm one of the lucky ones. And I'm very thankful for the whole experience of So You Think You Dance. I don't know what, like, happened, but I think the show got the best of me. I became very, like, insecure and very a hesitant dancer, and I kind of lost who I was on the show, and I think it just was the pressure, and just I didn't expect what the show was, you know, but the struggle is when you grow, and I definitely struggled during that show, but I grew a ton as well.
Well, let me pull this out, because I actually went back and watched. I'm like, this is your life, Teddy. But this is an interesting quote, because and this is why I actually invited you back today. And cool. So I'm going to let you know this.
Okay, cool.
Certain things always stick with me in interviews. And I threw something out last week that Allison had told me, and I want to say probably back in 2013, and I brought it up in her interview last week. And something that stuck with me in 2014 when I interviewed you, you said to me off air, and you were just like, you don't know. I'm like, I'm capable of so much more. I just wasn't myself. And this was only a few weeks after you were off the air.
Yeah.
And on the air, I couldn't remember if you had said anything on the air. On the air, you said, there were moments that I didn't feel like my strongest myself because once I put pressure on myself, that's when things go, oh, that was good, but it could have been a little bit better. And I look at your career now, and obviously something between then and now has obviously clicked, because you are one of the most busy, talented, working dancers out there in the industry right now. Every time I like open up like you know, one of my social media accounts, you're off doing another job, and usually a big job. So let's talk about sort of what happened during that season 11 experience, because to me it hit me, and I was like, I felt it, and I was like, I felt your disappointment with it.
Yeah. Again, I'm very thankful for the show. I wouldn't change it for the world, and I met incredible people along the way. I just think I didn't feel like I deserved to be there once I arrived. Like, mm-hmm. I remember being with Emilio week one and Chris Scott, and they had just got off set of a movie, and so they were
Step Up.
Yeah, Step Up. Yeah, yeah.
By the way, Step Up. Yep.
By the way, and they had like a lot of inside jokes, and they were buddies, and Emilio did all these tricks that Chris Scott knew he could do, and he loved them. And I remember him asking me like, what tricks I do, and I was like, I'm not a tricker. I don't really have tricks. And things just kept happening throughout the season that I let get, like, put me down.
Of course.
I got in my head, and honestly, so many of the contestants on season 11 with me, they didn't understand who I was until I came back the finale week, when I didn't care anymore because I wasn't in the competition, and I just let my guard down, and I was like, why am I going to let, you know, pressure, and why am I going to let myself self-doubt myself, you know?
Yeah.
Like, people were like, Teddy, you're a totally different person than when I first met you. Like, you were so quiet, you barely socialized. I mean I was stressed beyond belief, like, and I had just started Accutane, which is a medicine for acne, and mm-hmm. one of the side effects is severe joint pain.
Oh.
When you increase your physical activity. And so I started it right before the show, and my physical activity obviously increased. We had long days, and there were nights that I was going to bed and I was just in so much pain, and I would laugh about it when it was happening, but like, I was in so much pain that I would like fall downstairs, and like, I wouldn't be able to sit down without falling into the seat and stuff like that, because my body just could not handle what was going on with it.
Oh my gosh. And you're young enough that you're not thinking like, maybe I should just stop this or call a doctor and be like, should I like wean off of this for my time here and then go back on it?
Right.
As an adult, you know, you think more like, okay, well, I probably should do something about that. But and Emily too, you know, she was your partner. Yeah. She had, I remember when she dislocated her shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys had it rough sometimes.
And
you had such a good sense of humor about it.
Yes. The two of us, we get each other. Like, she is one of my best friends. I love her to death. And, but we also can stress each other out when it comes to pressure, things like that. And so I think the two of us being together and just both being a little doubtful of ourselves, I think we're kind of like a ticking time bomb together. But we say that to each other and we laugh about it, you know? But
of course, you have perspective too now.
Totally, yeah. Totally. But yeah, I don't... There were good moments from the show, I think, but...
What's your favorite moment from the show?
Like a video I look back and I'm like, okay, I think I did a good job. Or like a moment, like a feeling.
A feeling.
Okay. I think the best feeling was when I had the contemporary with Tice DiIorio, and I just felt like I did that dance justice. And I felt like there were other dances that I did that I didn't do them justice. But I knew I could, but for some reason it was a mental block and I just couldn't get myself to be my best. You know, I'm not comparing myself to other contestants. I'm just comparing myself to me and what I know I'm capable of. And I just...
Well, I want you to know something. Just because I talk to everyone from every season, and this is not an uncommon thing.
I know.
And I'm sure you've seen this too. And I cannot tell you how many people... And some people aren't willing to talk about it on camera at all. So, and I kind of threw you for a loop with this. But you threw it out first. So I was like, I'll throw it back at you. But
I'm open.
No. But, you know, I've had people even slide into my DMs going, I had the worst season. I hated myself on the show. I didn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. And other people... thrive on competition.
Oh my God,
and I think, wow, how did they do that?
Or me too. And like Haley Payne, who I'm working with right now, she thrived on the show. Like we went back and we watched all of her dances and I was like, oh my God, Haley, I am a huge fan of you. Like, you are incredible. I already was a huge fan of hers, but like, wow, she killed it. She really did.
Yeah, when she did that robot dance, with Virgil, and
She looks like an animation.
She was amazing because I think everyone expected it out of Virgil, didn't expect it out of her, and then you're like, who is this girl?
Yeah.
Like, she's taking names.
Totally. I mean, I would have voted it. Like when I was younger, I would have been such a Haley fan.
Of course.
You know,
I love her look too. Overall,
totally.
I was like, don't ever change your look.
No.
It works so well for you.
Yeah.
So that's just my thing. Like, there are so many other contestants that feel exactly the same way, which is so interesting. And I'm like, we need to, like, let everyone know that it's okay. It's, you know, it's okay to feel insecure.
Yeah.
It's, you do have to try and maybe find a way to sort of reach down and find that confidence. But you're not the last contestant. You know, you certainly weren't the first.
Right.
So I think that that's kind of like a major thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
And again, you grow from experiences like that. I truly did grow from that. Like being on TV in front of America and the world and feeling that low, you grow from it and you pick yourself up and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to continue to do my thing and I'm going to move to LA and I'm going to chase my dreams. I'm not going to let that stop me. If anything, it's going to drive me more because I want to prove myself.
Right. And you did get to go on tour.
Yes.
Did that change things for you?
Absolutely. And that's when I became close with I was close with Emily the whole time and Jackie and Val. Mm-hmm. Like, the four of us were always close. But that's when, like, Ricky and I became close and Marquette and I. Like, I really got great friendships from that tour that I'm so thankful. And it wouldn't have happened. It would have happened, but... maybe not, because Ricky lives in New York City, and you know, but I'm thankful for the tour and those types of reasons, and also just feeling more confident in myself.
And you guys got a 77 city tour. Yeah. I don't know if people understand. Like, I would have season 10 people coming in going, I can't believe they got 77 cities.
Yeah.
You guys had a massive
tour. We did. We had the longest one yet so far.
Yes. What was that like?
Tours have always been my dream. And so that was my first tour, and it was a U.S. tour, and I loved it. Like, I didn't want it to end. Like, there were other contestants that were over it, and I get that. I think I would have been there soon, and I actually think maybe I was towards the end, but if it had continued, I would have been excited. But there's something about traveling with a group of people and that bond and being on a bus. Like, it's a great experience, and I wouldn't change it for the world. And yeah.
Did it make you realize? Was this part of, like, the catalyst of making you realize that you did deserve to be there at all on tour?
When I was on tour, I felt that I did deserve to be there. But it took me a second. And I wish that when I was on the show, I felt that way about myself as well.
Of course.
But on the tour, I felt confident. And, well, it took a second, and I grew into it. But I found a confidence again that I had before the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's weird when you, like, lose it, because you're just like, it's a weird sensation because you're like, I was so confident that I got on this show.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing is Hollywood Week, because we didn't go to Vegas. We went to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I was just so like, I'm going to do this and this is what it's going to be. And I'm going to, you know, hopefully I make it to the next round, but I'm going to do my best and I'm not going to stress myself out. And it was Hollywood Week. Like, if that was aired, I would be so proud of that week. And then something changed and it was a head game. And I don't know what changed or how it changed, but I'm glad I'm not there right now or anymore, you know?
Right. I know. And I mean, if you could tell contestants right now, because they're about to step in, we've got 10 contestants about to step into the live shows next Monday, what would your advice be?
Own your style and own who you are as a person. and don't let outside comments or outside talent bring you down. Let it inspire you and know that your path is different than other people's, like other contestants' paths as well.
Yeah, in the competition, I think what people forget, I mean, in the end, yes, I understand that there's a prize and there's money and there's great things like that. But you're really competing against yourself every week. And I think people forget that because you're trying to challenge yourself, especially if they, you know, if you're a hip hop dancer and they throw you, you know, ballroom, how are you going to make that work? So you really have to compete against yourself in that manner.
Totally. And honestly, there's not, like, if you're spending time competing against other people during the week, I just think that's negative. Like, I just think you need to just, like you said, compete against yourself, but not even compete against yourself. Just be the best that you can be for yourself, you know, and don't think, oh, because this person's thriving, there's room for everybody. Like, making it to top 10 is amazing, you know? So
it's huge.
It's a huge reward and it pays off.
Yeah. And I always say, you know, the winner doesn't always, you know, you're proof to this, that winner, well, and Ricky is tremendously successful, but being the winner doesn't define your career. Right. Not winning also doesn't define your career. Yeah. It's like, how do you take that momentum of just even appearing on the show, whether you were, you know, if it was a top 20 year, if you were number 20, or even if you were number one. Because we've seen number one people continue their success, and we've seen number one people kind of just fade into the woodwork, and it just is what it is.
Yep, and everyone has their different paths, you know, and their different timings, and you know. Also, people have different passions, you know. So if you're passionate about this thing and you continue to work towards this thing, you're gonna succeed.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah, and it's nice to see everyone sort of blossom too. You know, you're often working. I love watching Rudy's choreography career just completely take off.
Me
from
too.
That season.
Me too. I'm proud of him.
I'm really proud of him because we used to joke all the time. We'd be like, "Will he point his feet?" And then by like the last week, he was pointing his feet. And then you're just like, "I was like, I don't know where to put Rudy," but like Rudy found exactly what Rudy was supposed to do.
Totally. He owns who he is.
Yes.
You know?
And I love that about him.
And that's what I'm trying to do too. I think we're all just trying to find our voices and own who we are. And there's you know, Rudy right off the show kind of owned who he was. And me, I'm starting to own who I am, you know, because I mean, I own who I am as like a working dancer, but I mean like to find my voice and choreograph and, you know, I'm trying to hold free classes every once in a while. Just as a passion project for me, not for anybody else.
Right.
Just to say I did it and to get it out and to not judge myself, you know?
Well, and it's true. Also, I think, you know, with experience, like the more you teach, the more you choreograph, the better you get to. And and you find out what your style is, where your sensibilities are and that type of thing, what type of teacher you are. Mm-hmm. Are you the strict one? Are you the chill one?
Yeah.
Are you the Stacey Tookie with like her, you know, aromatherapy candles.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. That's me.
That's you.
That's
Are you going to bring in aromatherapy?
Yeah. Yeah.
It smells good in the studio with Teddy. So when you came back post-tour, obviously you move in, which is like the coolest apartment still because it's you, Val. At the time it was Emily
and Jackie.
Now it's Carly.
Yep.
You guys all sort of bonded together. Mm-hmm. Did you hit the ground running after tour?
Yeah. I'm so thankful to share my LA experience with those people and, you know, Emily for the time we had her and stuff. And I think it makes a difference because you come home from auditions, you come home from classes, and there are things that could knock you down, like have the potential to knock you down, like when you get told a no at an audition or when you make it to the end and then you don't hear anything and then you see the jobs happening, you're like, oh, you know. But when you have people like that in your house, it keeps you sane.
Yeah.
And we're positive and we support each other and we're not competitive with each other. And I think that's really refreshing and it's healthy.
That is really, really smart. Yeah. Because sometimes you just need to like let it go and forget dance for the day. Like just put it behind you and just kind of
hang out. It's hard too.
So hard.
Because then we feel guilty doing that. Like even if you want to just take a day to be like, okay, like I'm going to work on me. I'm going to go do this because it makes me happy. It's like, well, I could be in class right now or I could be doing, you know, and it's hard to get your mind off of dance sometimes. But we help each other through it.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So what was your first job out of tour?
My first booked job was a casting, and it was for a handbag commercial that aired in Japan with Miranda Kerr for a Samantha Tavassa handbag. I don't even know what that is, but
something super fancy. That's what we know.
Yes, and it was just a really funny commercial that was just aired in Japan. And I guess one of the guys that was in the commercial, he ended up being in Japan, and we were on like a big screen playing. And I didn't even know that was happening.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So was that pretty close to completing tour and like moving here and everything?
Yeah, I think it was a month after I moved.
Oh, wow. That is really fast because you know a lot of people will spend a year here not booking a job. It's
I mean, yeah. And but I have gone through, you know, an extended period of time where I haven't booked much, you know, and it does test your strength and your mental capacity and, you know, but that was my first small booked job.
When you go through those like dry spells, because and I don't think people necessarily understand, because even with my work, people mm-hmm. are like, you should host on E or you should be on the Today Show. I'm like, I wish it was that easy.
Totally.
It's totally not that easy. No. Like, you should be on Broadway. You
totally. I would love to.
My husband always gets like, you should be on a soap. And like,
yeah,
it's great. We would all love that.
Totally. Stuff. Then get me on.
Get me on. Yeah. How do you? But people don't understand like the process of what mm-hmm. it is. So when, and I've had dry spells myself too, so I understand like the mental aspect of it. But as a dancer, when you're going through that, how do you keep yourself focused? Because it's easy to get very unfocused, especially here in LA with beautiful weather and lots of distractions.
Totally.
How do you keep yourself like in class and keeping sharp?
Well, so I think a dry period for me was the end of 2016 after the Max and Val tour had wrapped up. I came back to LA and I had to get back. I had to adjust again to the LA lifestyle, and I forgot what it was like to kind of not have something to do in a day, and it drove me crazy for a while. And but that's when I decided to take my time and to start choreographing and to hold the classes. I held like 3 classes in the fall, and they were free. And they were I just invited people that I had worked with or friends of mine that came and support me. And I attempted to do like a concept video with some like Marquette and Zach were in it, and I didn't end up releasing it, but it was still just a passion project that I it was a risk I took, you know, just like finding things to do within the times that I'm not working.
How come you haven't released it?
Because I think I could do better, and I think it was just like a stepping stone, and like I learned that I don't love a white background.
That's good to know.
Totally, like I thought like I envisioned a white background, and I just think it's very plain to me.
It was too stark.
It's not pleasing to my eye.
And that's the thing too, when you start learning about choreography, you start learning as a director too. And I think that that's where we're also seeing a lot of choreographers now, you know, move into that that role. Now you know. Let's talk about the Max and Val tour, because I think that this was a big deal for Max and Val too. You know, I cover Dancing with the Stars, and I know for them it was a huge dream to do this tour. And then, you know, here you are getting to sort of participate in their dream.
Yeah.
What was the audition like audition process like for you?
So I have a funny story. So actually, Val and I were on a teaching job together in, I want to say somewhere in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we judged the weekend, and then we taught a class or two, and then I was supposed to go home to L.A., and Val was driving – her mom was picking her up and driving her back to Indiana. And Val was like, Teddy, what if you just canceled your flight and you came to Indiana with me? And I was kind of like, oh, like, that's funny. And then I thought about it, and I was like, oh, my God, but that's so – like, let's do it. So I canceled my flight, and I drove with them to Indiana, and I you know, I saw Val's childhood home and stuff, and I was supposed to be there for, like, 4 days. But then I got this email saying, hey, you have an audition for a Max and Val tour.
Valerie and Val Schmidkowski. Yep. There's two Vals in this story. Vals,
yes. Yeah, I'm it's confusing.
For all of our podcast followers at home, just so you know, there's two Vals.
Actually, every big job I've done has had a Val on it.
That's crazy. There's
a Val on Backstreet Boys, too.
Oh.
Valentino. So it's like but Valerie, Valentina, Valentino. And they said, we're only looking for one male dancer, like, to hire for the job. And so I called my agent, and I was like, okay, JC, like, I'm going to have to spend money to buy a flight, because I canceled my flight to L.A. I was like, do you think it's worth it? They're only looking for one male dancer, one spot. And he was like, I mean, every audition is worth it. He's like, but it's up to you what you want to do. And so I sat on it, and I felt something. I was like, I need to go to the audition. It's just something that I'm interested in. It's another tour. I love tours, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I flew to L.A., and I ended up arriving there first, and so I was like, my number was number one, and I remember Max like joking around, being like, number one, Teddy, well, you're not really number one, but I guess you can wear the number, you know, like just like funny.
Total Max. Max.
Yeah.
Just joking aside, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think we first learned a jazz hip-hop fusion routine, and then we learned a ballroom routine, and I had like 2 or 3 partners I had to learn it with, because there were more girls than guys left. So that was the stressful part, was like figuring it out with this person, and then it felt so different with this person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that was the most stressful part of it. But
how was your ballroom at this point? Like, before you had started the tour?
Yeah, I faked it, but I was in the mindset where I was like, I want this job. I'm going to pretend like I am a ballroom dancer. And I felt really good at the audition.
That's good.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm not going to let, you know, my lack of ballroom knowledge or technique get in the way of, you know.
You were going to learn so much if you did get this tour.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And so then I got the call that I got it. And that was another experience where we were on a bus and it was a tour and a great group of people. You know, Kiki and Magda were on the tour. Mm-hmm.
Kiki is possibly a top 10.
Possibly,
for,
yeah.
Possibly. It's against Concrete or Kiki with Jenna.
Yeah. So that's exciting.
That is exciting.
And we were a family on that tour. Like, actually, I'm meeting with some of the dancers tonight. We're just going to get dinner together because it's been a minute. It's been a while since we've seen each other. But, like, I love them dearly, every single one of them that was on that tour.
I do think that both Max and Val do create a sense of family. It seems like that with everyone that works at their studio, people that are they're close friends with them, they stick together. They a lot of time, and I will say to their tribute that a lot of their former partners on Dancing with the Stars do stay in touch with them.
Yes,
they become a part of like the fam, of course. And I think that is a tribute to who they are as people.
Yes, and I think that that's what we bonded over the most was the importance of family. Like I remember Tracy who was like the messenger from Val to my agent. She called my agent and was like, so can you tell us a little bit about Teddy? Like, is he family oriented? Does, you know, is he hardworking? And my agent was like, he's very family oriented and all of that stuff. And, you know, luckily it worked out.
It's kind of interesting that that is a question.
Because that was so important for Max and Val that they didn't want someone to come. Because I was the only boy on the job that wasn't, that didn't already know Max and Val.
Right.
Vlad, Kiki, and Ivan, they had all trained with Max and Val or taught at the studio. And,
they knew their work ethic. They knew them personally. They knew their background.
Yeah. Right. So they didn't want someone to come in and throw off the
vibe.
The vibe. Yeah. Yeah. And luckily, you know, we meshed and it was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You worked with a variety of choreographers on this tour too.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is there a certain choreographer or a certain number that stood out to you?
Yeah. I fell in love with Megan Lawson and Matt Cady. They were part of Fanny Pack and ABDC.
Yes.
They are just so unique from anything else, and I respect people that are like that. They're not afraid to just be themselves no matter what. And Matt Cady inspires me because he produces music and he draws. And growing up, I loved drawing. I did it all the time. And one of my goals is to produce an album sometime in my life. Like, I don't know when or what or for who, if it's for me, if it's for someone else.
Right.
We were supposed to get together last week. We didn't, but we're going to get together, and he's going to just teach me how to produce music, and he's someone that inspires me a lot.
That's amazing.
And I met him through the Our Way job.
Wow. Do you have a moment from tour too that you just really like, this is going to be such a special memory that you're, when you're 85 years old, you're still going to be like, I remember that Our Way tour.
Because
you played some pretty big venues on that tour too.
Yeah, we did. I mean, yeah, we played in, I want to say Connecticut at a casino, and at the time, that was, because I had gone from the So You Think tour with a lot of people, but then, I don't even remember how many people were in this casino, but there was a ton of people, and that was, like, crazy just to say that I performed in front of that amount of people. Mm-hmm. I don't even know, like, 6,000 people at the time. Like, that was, like, I was like, whoa, that is crazy.
Until, dun-dun. Well, Backstreet Boys,
yes,
but yeah.
But, and then also, when we came to Verona, New York, which is 2 hours from Rochester, New York, where I grew up, there were like 50 family and friends people to come and see me, and I just, the support I have back home is immeasurable. Like, I feel the love, and I'm very thankful for the people that I have back home.
That's such a big moment too. I mean, coming back to your hometown or close to your hometown and people supporting you because they've seen your full journey.
Yes.
You have very supportive parents. I'm like, I was very familiar with Pam and Bob
yeah.
from Rochester Pam because they were Pam following all season. And Val's mom. I mean, there's Debbie. You know, I really do know people's parents. They and some of them will DM me and, yeah. and they're very involved. And I actually appreciate it. Yeah. I'm always like, oh, I love it when the moms and dads totally. Follow me as well. Totally. So
and like my grandma, my grandpa, and my aunt Cindy and my aunt Debbie, like they all just wanted to meet Max and Val, and they all got their pictures with them, and they were so they were so understanding and so great, and they came out and met everybody. And. And that's a lot of people to meet, like 50 people.
And, you know, and Max and Val really do. There's a group from Dancing with the Stars, like Derek Huff and Mark Ballas and Max and Val, that have a certain celebrity because of that yeah. show that is very powerful. Mm-hmm. Did you watch how they handled that? Because there are times I'm like, I think it's got to be really hard for some of them to walk down the street on certain days.
They're so gracious. And they're you know, they will have their picture taken with you if you want a picture taken. And... they're just very down to earth, you know. They do have a celebrity status, but they don't act like a celebrity. Mm-hmm. They're like a down to earth, genuine. They're genuine people.
And when you were watching sort of their dreams come true, because I know how important that was to them. What was that like? Because I've got to imagine they were pretty emotional, probably on opening night, especially and closing
yeah,
night.
Yeah, because they're telling their story through dance, and they have their own show, and they're the headliners, you know. And it just.
And they immigrated to the United States.
Yeah, so that is so crazy. It's like, it's possible. Like what I'm doing is what I need to be doing, because one day I want to have something that's like that, you know, and it's just, I'm so happy that I was a part of that for them. And the, you know, there's talk about maybe a new tour with them or mm-hmm. whatever, but so hopefully something happens with that.
You probably just got a lot of fans super excited.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, there was talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, too, there's some jostling going around with Dancing with the Stars on the schedule. Yep. So that may change.
It makes it hard, yeah.
But it may change things because they're doing a fall season, but they're not doing a spring season. So that open things up for yeah. them is what I'm just saying.
There you go.
We don't know anything. Don't tweet us and say.
Yeah, I mean, it's not definite.
It's not definite.
It's something that, you know.
I think possibilities are probably wider open now than they were even last year. So
yes.
Let's yep. just put that out yep. there. What did you learn from, let's say, Max?
Wow, I learned a lot from him, but I just learned to never lose who I am and to just be driven. And, you know, he's all about respect, and so I respect him, and he respects me, even though he's, like, the older figure in the, you know, mm-hmm. but he's all about respect.
How about Val?
And Val's quote to me, and what I do on every job I have, I take an individual Polaroid of every person on the job, and mm-hmm. they sign the bottom, and on the bottom of mine, and he would say it in person too, he always says, lead by example.
It's a great one.
Yeah, and so that's what I want to lead by example. I want to be a leader of some sort, and I want to, you know, inspire people just like people inspire me.
Yeah, and you know, Val is really good about that. Especially, and I think people lose sight of like social media as just like a place to like dribble all of our thoughts. And you know, he really does lead by example in terms of he understands that he does have younger followers,
yes.
and he's really
yes.
he stepped up.
He's very in tune with himself, and he cares deeply when he cares. Like, you know what I mean? He wears his heart on his sleeve, and he truly cares. He just cares. That's he's a caring person.
Amazing. Anything we don't know about the two of them? Any little silly story?
I don't know.
He's like, oh, what can I say?
I know, like, what can I say? What can I say?
I know, you're like, no.
I don't know. I'll get back to you on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to circle back, though.
Okay. Yeah, circle back.
I'll circle back.
Yeah.
So at what point does the Backstreet Boys sort of come into play? Because this is a big deal, especially for someone like you who like worshiped them as a little one.
Yes.
And here you are now on stage with them, which you guys aren't playing 100 seat theaters.
No.
I saw that. Where was that? Montreal, like 100,000?
Quebec City. There was 100,000 people.
Yeah. I saw that photo and I was like, that is ridiculous.
I am on cloud nine doing this job.
Yeah.
I really am.
So here's what I want to know. Let's go back to the audition. Like, what was the audition process like for Backstreet Boys? Because every audition process is very
totally,
different.
Totally. It was a two-day audition, just like Max and Val. The first day, we learned the chorus to Everybody, which is the finale of the show. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. It's like the encore, but whoops.
Oops. Cat's out of the bag.
Yeah. So we learned that, and it was a long day, just like nonstop doing that over and over again. And
then, were they making cuts throughout mm-hmm. the day?
Yes, okay. they were making cuts, and then we came back the next day, and Rita, who produces the show and like helps, you know, put it together, she said, come in all black, but have a splash of color. And so I was like, okay.
What does that outfit look like for you?
So I had on a black baggy hoodie. It was actually my So You Think hoodie turned inside out because I literally didn't have any clean laundry. So I literally had to like pick and choose of what I had. And then I wore, this is funny, but I'll let you know what it was. Oh, sorry. I wore a red t-shirt that like hung underneath the sweatshirt. So that was my splash of color. It was mm-hmm. like a baggy t-shirt. And then I had black sweatpants and black, all black shoes on. And so we're dancing and dancing, and we make it down to like three groups of 10. Like, so there's 30 people left. And then she goes, okay, guys, if you have baggy clothes on, please take off a layer. And I was like, okay. So I take off my sweatshirt, and I'm on the sidelines just going over the choreography while the music's on and while other groups are going. And I look down. I am wearing my Justin Timberlake tour concert shirt that I got when I saw him in concert at a Backstreet Boys audition.
No, you're not.
I was. And I started laughing. Like, I was like, oh my God, I need to tell someone. So I started telling strangers, like people that were just auditioning. I was like, you guys, why am I wearing a Justin Timberlake t-shirt at a Backstreet Boys audition? And so then they called us out, and it was my group to go. And I literally performed or auditioned in front of AJ. He was at the audition.
Okay.
With my Justin Timberlake shirt on. And I didn't know, because it's like his full body, and then it says Justin Timberlake at the bottom.
Right.
I didn't know whether to cover his face or the name. So I covered the face, hoping that while I'm dancing, you can't really read like what the word says because it's kind of abstract. But there's a video of my group, which is the 10 people, the dancers that were hired. And I'm the only – because my splash of color was a shirt, but it was covered.
Right.
So I'm the only one in like a bright red shirt, and everyone else is in black with like a tiny splash of color. And I'm wearing a Justin Timberlake shirt, and everyone gives me such a hard time for it.
And they still hired you.
Yeah. And that is such a Teddy move. Like, I'm just not thinking. I'm just like, oh, yeah, I love
oops.
It.
Oops.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I would love to know. So they hired you guys in three groups of 10.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of – but they hired everyone in your 10.
Yeah, the group one. We were group one. And we went, and then the two other groups went, and we were the group that
– Interesting, because sometimes they'll take, like, someone from two and put them in one.
Totally. And they didn't really do that. They kind of had, like, their set 10, 10, and 10. And I
– Interesting.
Yeah. But
– Do you know – did you ever get any insight of whether it was, like, overall look of people? Because sometimes that does happen because totally. They want you to blend in well with the group.
Every job is about, you know, talent. But then they also – you need to have a certain look. And I'm not sure what the look was for this job, but – Yeah, I don't know what they were going for, but
interesting.
Yeah,
because it's interesting just to think that entire group of 10 was the one that
yeah.
got the job.
Yeah.
Hmm. And AJ was the only one that sat in on the auditions. And just for people to know, every artist has kind of a feel for what they want to do in auditions. Some don't show up at all.
Right.
If you audition for Madonna, from what I hear, she's there from the very first audition all the way through.
Interesting. Yeah. Because I auditioned for her and she wasn't there.
She wasn't there? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So back in the day, I know for, like, I interviewed some of the dancers mm-hmm. from Truth or Dare. They said she was there, like,
cool.
all the way through. So maybe at this point, she's like, we got it.
But maybe she did show up after I was cut. I don't think she showed up on that day, though. But if there were, like, other days and stuff. I know Ricky Ubeda auditioned for her and he was in New York City when he auditioned, and,
yep.
and he saw her.
He did see her. Yes. She lives in New York, too. So
okay, well, there you go.
More than not here.
Maybe
in LA.
She was busy, yeah.
Maybe she was busy. I don't – Madonna's never
yeah,
busy.
Yeah, what could she be doing?
But every artist does have a preference of whether mm-hmm. they want to sit in auditions or not. Now,
totally.
I think if I were a singer, which I'm not, I think I would want to sit in because I want to know who
oh,
I'm
me
seeing
too.
And working with
me
all the
too.
Time.
Me too. I'd be so hands-on.
Yeah.
I'd be so hands-on, and I'd want to get to know, you know, the people that I'm going to be going on – or not tour, but like a residency or whoever
yeah.
I'm performing with insurance.
The overall look of people,
yeah.
it matters. So it was only AJ that's
yes,
that
which makes sense to me because they're all so down to earth and great, but AJ is definitely the one that's most involved with the dancers. Like he wants to know things about us and he's very personal.
I love that.
Yeah, personable. So
does he like dance too? Maybe he likes dance a little bit more too.
No, he does. I think out of all of them, he loves dance the most and he jokes with us that he's the best dancer of the five, which he can move.
He can move.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is kind of incredible. So I've got to ask, what's that phone call like from your agent when you find out you get the job? Because this is This is a big one. And this is kind of, you know, this, the 8-year old in you is like, holy cow.
Yes. So my agent called me, and just that he called, like, I started getting, like, my heart was beating because I was like, okay, this could be good news. And then I answer the phone, and he's playing a Backstreet Boys song in his car. Like, and literally that's how he told me, just by playing a Backstreet Boys song.
That's amazing.
Which was really, really cool. And then I was just...
I'd cry.
I wanted to. It was like, it was very like, whoa, this is the start of something that... Because Dancing for Artists is what, like, the reason I moved to LA. I want to be a backup dancer for artists that I respect. And I never thought of dancing for the Backstreet Boys just because of the time, you know? Like, I was young when they were huge, and I just never thought, oh, I'll dance for the Backstreet Boys. But I am so happy that I'm with them.
And times have changed, too. I think that's the other thing. Like, if you were a boy band back in the day, I think people are just like, okay, you reach a certain point, and then your fame drops off a cliff, right. And then we're like, where are they now?
Right.
But there's been so many fantastic opportunities. Vegas residencies.
Yeah.
Even just, like, people wanting nostalgia.
I think...
I love the nostalgia wave.
Me, too. And I think that's, like, a big trend in fad right now, is, like, bringing back nostalgic groups and,
yeah.
and singers.
Yeah, I mean, like, New Kids on the Block. I mean, they're a generation before NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, and they're still killing it.
Yeah, they just toured with Paul Abdul, right?
Paul Abdul and Boys to Men.
Yeah, that's
Come
so cool.
Come on, who doesn't want to see Boys to Men?
No, we I would so go. I wish I could.
I know. So what I think is really interesting about this job, too, it's a Vegas residency, but there's also tour dates involved.
Yes.
So how does your schedule work with all of that?
So we... Only audition we didn't know that there was going to be a tour until later on into the Vegas residency. So January through March was just rehearsals for the Backstreet Boys show in Vegas, and then there was word of like them joining Florida Georgia Line on tour, and so then in June in Vegas we had a bunch of rehearsals for the Florida Georgia Line set because we're also dancing for Florida Georgia Line as well.
Oh, so you're doing double duty.
Yeah.
Cha-ching.
So every time we go to a city. We do the Backstreet Boys set, and then we do the Florida Georgia Line
set.
That's
amazing.
And it's really, really cool. I love both sets, and I love being able to do two different artists. And it's really cool that they're doing it at one venue, like, all at once.
What is the style of Florida Georgia Line? Because their sound is so completely different.
Yeah, it's country. It's hip-hop. It's definitely hip-hop to country music. Because they're kind of pop country, so it works. But Chase Benz, who is in the Britney show, he choreographed all of the... Florida Georgia Line moves and stuff, so it's been fun working with him too.
Wow,
yeah,
that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so, do you have concert dates through the end of the year? Like, where are you right now?
We only had 3 set dates with Florida Georgia Line, so we have one more coming up in Chicago in this month, August 11th, and then there's word on more Vegas residency months and shows, and then possibly a world tour with Backstreet Boys, but I don't know if that's like a real thing or if that's just rumors.
It's a good rumor, though.
Oh, yeah, because that's my dream, is a world tour.
Yeah, you know, it's always... And the world tours become... They're rare these days, like those big, epic world tours. I remember when, I think it was Eliana went on the Taylor Swift
tour.
The red tour. And they were like, they had their own jet.
Yeah.
They were flying everywhere. Yeah. Like, when you go on those, like, A-lister world tours, those are pretty epic.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And yeah, and so, I mean, even the Vegas residency is... It's just amazing.
And I think that's what's so interesting about these artists. They're able to have these dates for, you know, 2, 3, 4 months at a time. You guys don't have to go anywhere.
Right.
There are some nice things to not having going from city to city to city. What has the reaction been like from fans? I've got to imagine it's nuts.
Well, so Backstreet Boys has sold way... So in the first week, I think Britney and J-Lo sold around like 10 million, 14 million tickets, and Backstreet Boys sold 59 million.
Are you kidding me?
No, yeah. Like, it's doing so well, and that's why they're extending it, and Britney's show is ending soon, so Backstreet Boys is going to fill in
those dates.
The spots that Britney was set to be in.
Yeah, that makes sense, too. I mean, like, if you're still selling, why would you sit there and cut off that money train and that opportunity to perform? So how do they do it? Do they continually just keep on extending your contract, like going, okay, we've got another 3 months of dates, that kind of thing?
Actually, they're supposed to give us a new contract. They haven't yet, so but that should be in the works, and we should be getting it soon to sign on for November and February.
And so you're with a couple of So You Think You Can Dance alum. You mentioned Haley, but also Urelis is on the...
Urelis, and then Flores, who won So You Think You Can Dance Netherlands, is on the job as well.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and I really just love everybody on the job. Like, I have a different bond with each and every one of them. And, you know, I would say actually more recently, Yoey and I have started to really get close and bond and understand each other. And I really enjoy my time with her as well. So
that's great. Do you have what was that like opening night like with Backstreet Boys? Because, you know, there is that moment of just like, how did I get here? I'm from Rochester, New York. Yeah. I'm from small town Massachusetts. So I understand that.
Yeah. And people always think it's like New York City, but it's 6 hours away. And, you know, it's not that
you're upstate.
Yeah. Yeah. Chills. I seriously had chills. And I remember because Larger Than Life's the first number and we come in halfway through because it's like kind of like, oh, just the Backstreet Boys. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, there's dancers. Mm-hmm. And I was backstage and my heart was pounding and I was smiling ear to ear and I was like, oh my God, we're about to go on stage with the Backstreet Boys. This is crazy. And the crowd was insane and I had chills while I was dancing on stage. And Jackie and Val came to see the show in April and I teared up just being on stage and I could see them like in the audience and everyone was like, you know, some people knew Jackie and Val and other people didn't. And the people that didn't know Jackie and Val, they're like, are those two girls that are just like having the time of their lives out there? You're the people you were talking about. And I was like, yes, they're the best. Like they were.
They're so supportive.
Yeah, and I just teared up because it was just cool to have them there in the audience.
What's the biggest challenge as a backup dancer? Because I think you know, for a lot of people, it is a goal in the industry, but it's not always easy.
Oh my God, the hours and the time you put into learning the show, you know, because you're not the star and you have. The dancing that the dancers do is way different than the dancing that the artists do. And the artists know their songs and the artists can make their schedule. Like, we don't make our schedule. So we just put in time and work in our body. It takes a toll on your body for a second. Like, mm-hmm. especially during the rehearsal process. I remember going home at night just being like, oh, my goodness.
Ice
like,
bath.
Yeah, my muscles were so sore. But it's the soreness that you love because you're like, oh, my gosh, look what I'm doing. That's causing the soreness. It's really cool.
That's incredible. And what about in terms of your favorite thing about being a backup dancer?
I think my favorite thing about being a backup dancer is having, and this is cliche because obvious, but having singers being on stage with you. Like,
yeah.
Someone, like singers that you idolize and that fans idolize, that yeah. you're the dancers behind them. I think it's just cool. Obviously, I love being like in a dance show, like with Max and Val or So You Think or mm-hmm. whatever. It's cool that people are coming to see the dancers and you're the
focal point.
Yes. Yeah. But just being a backup dancer is like from a long time ago, like a dancer's dream, and it's cool to just be living it and sharing a stage with a singer.
And I've got to imagine, even though they're there to see Backstreet Boys, like an audience of 100,000, there's got to be that same rush that they get.
Oh, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Be like dancing all out, like, yeah. Oh my God, 100,000 people.
No, for sure. And they come to see the Backstreet Boys, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to give our all. Like, and a lot of people come up to us and like, oh my gosh, we'd love that the Backstreet Boys are using dancers again. Like, it was so great to watch you guys and stuff. And
yeah, and I think it's also the fact that they are using dancers again. It's a part of the wave of what is happening in dance right now.
Dance is getting huge.
It's crazy. And I've been talking a lot about to people a lot about this. There is this massive growth, especially here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I feel it even on my level because I'm like, I can't cover everything. I can't be everywhere.
And totally.
It's amazing. And it's so much fun to be a part of. I am bracing a little bit for a couple of growing pains because when there's massive growth, sometimes you're like, oh,
yeah,
we got to work on this or we got to fix this.
Yeah.
But it's so exciting to see how this is all unfolding.
Yeah, there's so many outlets for dancers now. It's really cool. It's like it's becoming dance is in the limelight now, you know?
It is in the limelight. And I see agencies. This is the other thing. Like the agencies are going out and they're grabbing these kids at 8. And I'm like, they're going to be with them like as they grow.
Oh, for sure. They're going to see the whole journey.
The whole journey. Instead of – because it used to just basically be like you guys get off tour, you get the agent, and off the career goes.
Yes.
That doesn't exist anymore. Right. You've got like kids on World of Dance and America's Got Talent.
Yeah, who are already signed working and doing, you know, in the business. And that's great.
Doing massive commercials. Yeah. Like it's totally insane.
Totally. They're learning at a younger age, you know.
I sit there and I think I look at what's happening on, you know, World of Dance and So You Think. And I'll tell you, I keep saying it, but this So You Think top 10 is really well cross-trained. They're really good across the board.
I think it's going to be a good season.
I think so, too. I always think on my best day, I couldn't compete with all of these I was dancing. but does that worry you a little bit when you have – I mean, you still have to be your best self, but now everyone has to do like 1,800 tricks and they tap and jazz and ballroom. And
it doesn't worry me necessarily. It kind of excites me that like, you know, dance is just going to continue to get better and better with different generations. And I've never been one to compete with people. Mm-hmm. So, again, I'm supportive, and I'm like, whoa, more power to you.
Bring it on.
Yeah, totally.
Bring it on. I'd love to talk a little bit about you did this really cool project in Lincoln Center called Pearl.
Yeah.
Daniel Ezrulo.
Yeah.
Really fascinating.
With Ricky, Jamie, and Nico.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about that project? Because obviously here on the West Coast, we weren't able to see it.
Yeah.
But again, Lincoln Center is another venue that's like bucket list, check.
Well, and what's funny is I didn't know what Lincoln Center was.
No.
I know. I was very naive to what was going on.
Maybe that's better sometimes.
Maybe. Yeah. Right. I mean, I just didn't know what was going on. And I was, and so I booked that in, I want to say, April.
So was that you booked it out here in Los Angeles and then they flew you guys to New York kind of thing? Or is it New York and LA Dancers? Or?
We rehearsed in LA for 4 months.
Okay.
And then we flew to New York City for the 2 weeks that we performed there. Well, gotcha. We only had 4 shows, but we had to rehearse in New York City as well, mm-hmm. just to know the stage and stuff like that. But yeah, that was definitely, that was such an interesting experience. Would I do that again? I don't know if I would do that again, but I'm so thankful that I did it.
Why wouldn't you do it again? What would be, because was it the length of the project kind of
no,
thing?
No. And maybe I thought so at the time, because, but now I'm doing jobs that are longer and I love them. I think it's just less my cup of tea. I think I was the only, like, not really technical dance. Like, I have a knowledge of technique, and I did take ballet for 3 years when I was older, but it's different than all these other dancers that have, you know, done ballet and all these contemporary and I didn't even do contemporary growing. Like, I just did it at conventions when I went and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that's their love and their passion. And I love it too, but I want to be doing other things like hip hop and grooves and backup dancing and stuff like that. But I'm very thankful that I did it.
You know, it's interesting too, because that's a part of the growth as an artist, of understanding what you should be doing. Yeah. And what you, and what you just kind of take because it's a job and it's an opportunity. Yeah. Ian Eastwood was in here a few weeks ago, and he's 24. Mm-hmm. And but he has it very figured out in terms of saying, like, I want to be passionate about the work I do. I just don't want to take a job for a job.
Yeah.
And the sooner you realize that and recognize it, the more opportunities that actually open up, which even it sounds weird because mm-hmm. you think, like, well, I'm closing the door on that.
Yeah.
But really, you're opening yourself up to what you really want to be doing.
And it's a balance. And it also depends on your financial situation and stuff like that, too. Because I would encourage you, when you move out to LA, to take jobs that you necessarily don't think you would take. But then understand, okay, I did that. It wasn't my thing. So I'm going to shoot for other things, you know, right. And find what is my path and my niche and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I think too that in Los Angeles, they like you have to have a brand, mm-hmm. and you have to sell your brand, and the more and the sooner that people understand what your brand is, again,
yeah,
the more jobs come your way. Yes. Whether it's choreographer, dancer, mm-hmm. or anything else like that, director. Yeah. So I mean, but being able to recognize that is really kind of smart.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those things. I grew from that, just like I grew from every other thing that I've done. And I'm thankful for it, and I wouldn't change it. And I also met a bunch of great people on that job. Like, one of my best friends, Matt Peacock, I met on that job. And he's just – he's older in the business, and he's just someone – he's a great role model and a great friend to have.
Has a lot of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. He did Shaping Sound with Travis for a while.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So him and I just really bonded and stuff like that.
That's so important. I would love to know from you, did you have that at some point along the way, did you have that, like, aha moment of, like – where you're like, oh my gosh, I kind of have this figured out. I kind of know what I'm doing, from your time on So You Think to now, where you're just like, I think my confidence is back, or I think, like, we don't ever have it completely figured out because right. that's who we are as human beings.
I was
going to
say, I'm not 100% figured out yet.
You don't have to be.
Right.
And you never will be.
Right.
I'm older than you.
Totally. Totally. Because it's just, that's a part.
It's human nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I just, like, I was going to move to LA in April, and then I decided to move I moved March 1st because I heard of a Taylor Swift audition happening. And so I was like, Mom, I'm going to go stay with Christy and John, who are family friends that I have in Beverly Hills, and I'm going to go to this audition. And I think it was just, I am more fearless than I was when I was on So You Think. I think fear is what stops you.
Yeah. Fear is. And
so I try to stay away from it.
Do you think it was fear of failure? Because failure is always a thing. And you kind of need failure, though. That's the funny thing.
And not that So You Think was a failure, because I would hate to call it that.
Because you were on the show. That's a success.
Right. I mean, and there were a lot of successes along the way.
Yep.
But, yes, I was afraid to fail back then. And now I'm afraid to fail with choreography, but I'm trying to let that go. But it's something new for me. So it's like, that's why I'm doing these free classes, and that's why I book a space, and I just texted a couple of friends and said, okay, I have a class coming up. It's on August 7th. You know, I hope you can make it. Because if I have that space rented, it's like, okay, now I have to do it, you know?
You're committed to it.
Yeah. And I think So You Think was just the first thing professionally that was away from home, you know? And it meant a lot to me, and I had it up here, and then I was afraid to fail. I don't know. I was afraid.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And it, don't you wish you could, like, kind of look back and just be like, little Teddy, it's okay.
I want to shake myself back then. Yes. Yes. If I did it now, I would do it so differently.
Wouldn't we all, though?
Yes.
But that's
life.
Yeah. And if you didn't have that experience on So You Think, you wouldn't be probably on Backstreet Boys.
Right. Who
Isn't
knows?
Crazy?
You know? Yeah. So it's like everything happens for a reason. That was my time, and that was my time to go through it, you know? And there's going to be more times where I go through it where it's a struggle, but you only get better.
All right. So I want to know from you, 5 years from now, which would be what, 2022?
Weird.
Where's Teddy going to be? And what quote am I going to pull for our next
Wow. 5 years from now, that's like longer than when my credit card expires.
Yes, okay. It is.
I think I'll still be in LA. But hopefully I'm in a place where I can visit my family more, mom and dad. I want to come to Rochester more. But I think I'm in a place where I have it figured out more than I do now, obviously. But I there's a lot of things I want to do out here. And, you know, dance is obviously the main one. But I want to be able to choreograph, and I want to produce music, like I said. And also, I have a passion for – I took this course, UCB, this improv course at UCB. And
Upright Citizen Brigade.
Yes.
For people that don't know.
Yeah. And it's improv on stage. You create a scene on stage. And I've been going to this show. It's called Musical Improv every Thursday night. And they literally improv a musical on stage. And I have always been drawn, and I just love comedy. So I can see myself at some point, you know, going over to acting with comedy and stuff like that. I'm not sure in which direction or from what, but
you could choreograph for some. Kat Burns won her Emmy last year for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Okay.
Choreographing comedy too.
There you go.
She has a whole. She's like the only one that's really doing that. But yeah. Niche too. There's a few others, but
totally. I just see myself branching out and trying as many things as possible, and always in the entertainment business. Always in the entertainment business.
Okay, yeah. That's good to know. And how about, I know that you have, Backstreet Boys was probably one of your dream jobs. Do you have another dream job that you have yet to achieve?
Yes. So in 2016, April, I got a job to back up dance for Christina Aguilera on The Voice. And for some reason, growing up, I loved her because I loved her voice, and I loved what she offered and what she stood for. And it was like a taste. I actually met her too because she liked my look. So she had, the choreographer introduced us, and we had like two word interaction. And I was like, oh my God, you know?
You're like, day made, check.
Yeah, yeah. But I danced for her singing a Paul McCartney song, not one of her own songs. And so I hope to one day dance for her while she's singing her own songs and share a stage with her and maybe go on tour with her.
She keeps promising a new album. So
yeah, for like 4 years.
Like 4 years. I just saw a video today that they keep on going like 14, 15, 16. Yeah. Like it keeps looping up how she keeps promising new music. But
totally.
You know, she's got two kids, but maybe the time is coming up.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Who knows? We'll put it out there.
Yeah. Manifest it.
Manifest
for sure.
It. Christina Aguilera world tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
This was great. I know. I'm like, see what sticks in my crazy brain?
No, you're great.
You never know.
No, totally.
I'm like, 3 years later, I was like, I need an answer to this.
Yeah, right. No,
because I
appreciate
like,
it.
I got some social media answers that I wanted to hear directly from
you. Well, and thank you for like diving in and having me relive like what's happened so far. It's
like
fun.
It's like a day on the couch.
Yeah.
Like, little dance therapy
totally,
session.
Totally. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Where can everyone find you on social media and follow all those amazing Backstreet photos?
Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook is just Teddy Coffee, my name. TeddyCoffey.
So easy. All right, you guys, next week I have the World of Dance CEO and creator. Let's see, Matt Everett and Dave Gonzalez. They are the ones who created The Tour, which then became the crazy TV show. So we're going to dive in deep because they're also executive producers on that TV show, and I've got a lot of questions.
Yay.
Yes. They're going to sit in the hot seat next week. Woo. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us here on To The Point. We will see you next week. And don't forget, lots of great articles and inside scoop on dancenetwork.tv.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.